Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks, and welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I am your host, Linda, and I'm coming at you from beautiful downtown Oceanside, California. Gorgeous weather. I wish I could bottle this up and take it with me wherever I get to move to after things change around here. But nonetheless, I want to give a shout-out to www.patriotfamilies.com, which brings us these radio shows, and Hollis Buchanan there in Georgia. And welcome, Ron, to the chat room, and I hope some others join us. I did sound out a huge blast, and many of my friends here in California, so we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll catch it in the archives. So much going on today. Holy smokes. Before I get into my little Bible study here, I finally found my piece that I wanted, because it very much relates and would always relate to people looking at their circumstances. I got on my Facebook page, I get things from my family and friends and, of course, all the conservative people that I've signed up with. And one was from one of my libtard friends who actually, during the primary time voting in June, was leading towards Ron Paul. Then she's gone completely off the deep end now and going for Barack Obama again. So I thought, oh, boy. Okay, that's quite a stretch. Anyway, so I posted a little blurb on, she sent something on the Facebook, she's a left coast voter, and it's just, it's pure fascism, and, you know, they hate the right, it's just everything that you would get out of PMS, LSD, CNN, whatever, I mean, unbelievable stuff. So I could not let it go by the wayside, and I did post something on there, and I said, in my blurb, I said to these people, my first choice, of course, was Ron Paul, and I said, I am not a fan of Mitt Romney. I said, but I don't like communism. And I said, you know, that if you have a choice between people who love communism and fascism, and I do believe that the person in the White House is both of those things. And I said, if you want to live in a country where there is absolutely no freedom at all, then you vote for the Marxist. I absolutely was astounded that she would even try to post that on my page, but she did, so had to come back at her. And I was, you know, I didn't name anybody's names. I didn't say anything about her or anybody in her group, but that's where we are. So I wanted to go through this. One of the people that I did invite to the show is a wonderful Christian lady that I met through dancing years ago. And when I was at the party on Saturday, we were talking politics because everybody's, you know, crying about the gas prices. There's kind of split. I'd say maybe two of the people, or three, if we were lucky, were conservatives at this party. So they're all sucking up the Kool-Aid. But one of the gals, you know, I told her that I read scripture on my program, and we talk about God, and we are not afraid of those things in our shows. And I said that I was looking for the parables and in the story of when they were in the ship. And Jesus was walking on the water first, and then he had Peter try to do the same thing. So I want to go with that. It's Matthew 14. This is chapter 22. And it says, and straightway, let's see if I can get this. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. Well, he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Okay, I'm just picking up a call here. I think it's my friend Robert, but we'll get to this in a minute. To Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. Well, this is the basically what I take away from this. And I want to welcome Robert on the line and Doc and our guest 5957 and Rained Out to the show. And we look at our circumstances. That's why he sank into the sea. Peter did, because he was watching the waves and, you know, he freaked out and all these things. I am so guilty of this because I look around at our world today and I'm like terrified of the circumstances, but I cannot lose heart and lose faith because he is the one that's going to take care of it all. And it's a fine line because, you know, we've got to prepare for the worst, pray for the best, and just rely upon the Lord. This is why I say to people all the time that when you, Doc, it's Linda here in California. Thank you so much. And thanks, everyone, for joining. You know, when you look at the preamble and you look at those giant letters, we the people, it has always been we the people and the Lord. And again, I want to welcome Robert. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. It's another day, another dollar to me.
Okay. Well,
that's all we can do, Linda. I mean,
yeah.
That's all we can do right now.
Yeah, I just, you know, we have a group of people as citizens in this country, American people, are so divided. I think this is reminiscent of the Civil War. This is how divided this country is. I have never seen anything like this in any election cycle since I've been old enough to even pay attention to this stuff. It's just amazing. And I've been going through my history books, and I love Hayek, and I'm almost done with this one, and then we'll go to Bonhoeffer, and then we'll get Jekyll Island and a few others. But I wanted to share this one because it talks about property rights and things. And, you know, we do have a clear choice. You either believe in what the founders believed in and property rights and understanding what property rights means, what the word property means. It's you, it's your labor, it's your being. I mean, they got it, and then everyone is so indoctrinated, even people like, even 10 years younger than I and some 4 years older than I, they're just like sucking down the Kool-Aid like they're, you know, dying of thirst in the desert. I don't understand it. It's insane to me. But this kind of hits me. Go ahead.
But I'm sorry, but the last night, right after I hung up with y'all, I heard, what was the last night, or is it could have been this morning. I don't know, the days just get longer every day. But I heard now they're implementing a law to ban the government.
Oh, yeah, I've heard this, too.
They're banning the law for garage sales.
Right, if it was made overseas or there's some sort of royalty rights or there's, you know, something that's an antique or God knows what. You know, enough's enough. Yeah, I understand. It's horrible. But I wanted to go ahead.
Not only that, Linda, they're going to try to implement a law. If Obama gets elected, they're going to try to implement a law that I cannot sell my own home anymore.
Well, I don't know about that one.
Well, that's you know, they're talking about it. Now it's just talk. But
we just got to fight everything. You know, we've just got to stand up and say enough's enough. Thanks for joining in, Rod. I'm just trying to give a shout out to everybody. And again, we're going to be praying again for Yo. I'm not sure what state she's in today because it was about 2.5 days ago, and I did speak to Nick's son at their house. She is home, but she wasn't doing well that day. And I haven't heard much from Bill, although he did post some things on Facebook. So at least he's, you know, he hasn't stated what's going on with the father. But again, I want to remind everyone to please go to his Facebook page and listen to the song written by Bill's cousin in tribute to Bill's father, which was just get your Kleenex out because you're going to love this song. But anyway, also on C-SPAN, I think later tonight, I'm not sure whether it's going to be 5 o'clock my time or 6 o'clock my time, which I'm 3 hours, you know, towards liberal land. But on these congressional hearings, I've gotten snippets. I've got stuff from Glenn's show. I've gotten stuff from the Facebook pages, from the Patriot pages, all over the place talking about these congressional hearings on this Libya thing. And I know that Ron had mentioned earlier to me in the chat room that ISA, my guy, who's also on the oversight committee, going after Hildebeest Clinton. That was funny because I love that saying. For this Libya deal, the scandal and the cover-ups, it's really bad. Who knows what's going to happen because nothing's happened thus far with anything he's done that just defies logic and defies the Constitution completely. So this is just one short paragraph, and then I'm going to go into the insanity. I mean, we're paying $4.71 a gallon right now in California, and I have some explanations about it. It's been talked about on Levin's show. It's been talked about on my local guy, Mike Slater's show. I believe that, of course, he did it too early, and I'd have to go to the podcast for Yaron Brook from the Ayn Rand Center about this anti-free market stuff going on here in California. And it's unconstitutional what they're doing. They are completely ignoring the Commerce Clause the way it was meant to be, where keep it free-flowing completely. They have barred anyone from any state, other states, to bring in gasoline to help ease this crisis because it's not going to meet our standards of air quality, which just makes me want to throw up right into my mouth every day. So this says from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, who can seriously doubt that a member of a small racial or religious minority will be freer with no property so long as fellow members of his community have property and are therefore able to employ him than he would be if private property were abolished and he had become owner of a nominal share in the communal property, or that the power which a multiple millionaire who may be my neighbor and perhaps my employer has over me is very much less than that which the smallest functionaire possesses and who wields the coercive power of the state and on whose discretion it depends whether I am able to be allowed to live or to work. And who will deny that a world in which the wealthy are powerful is still a better world than one in which only the already powerful can acquire wealth? So we have to ask ourselves these questions because this is what the central planners and the socialists always want to do. They want to take away, they just want to manage everything. And it's just disgusting. They want to manage your toilets, your seat belts, your light bulbs, your private property, your thought, your religious freedom, your freedom of speech. They want to take our guns. I'm tired of it. So back here, we, it does sound like Russia. Oh yeah, we're an old Soviet. I know, Rained Out. You're absolutely correct. She says, California's doing something on. Yeah, we're so far in the tank for socialism, it's nuts. And the stupid Brown. I hope we can recall this clown, but I'm not sure how much hope I hold out for the state of California. Anyway, this is a little quick blurb on this one, and then I've got this whole thing. It says Governor Jerry Brown. This was Monday, October 8th. Took emergency action Sunday, this is just a joke, hoping to quickly drive down gas prices, which skyrocketed almost 50 cents across California in a week. Some of it was like 30, 35 cents overnight. Brown directed the California Air Resources Board, another evil entity, they call it CARB, to increase the fuel supply by allowing the immediate production of the more abundant winter blend of gasoline used in California, which is stupid because it's just avoiding the major problem. The state doesn't typically switch to its winter blend, which contains butane, until November 1st. Moving up the date will release any stockpiled winter blend of gas and allow refiners to make between 5% to 10. This is it. 5 to 10% more gas per unit of oil. He's increasing it by a max of 10%. Oh, that's going to bring it down. What an idiot. It's like adding, this is funny. This is quoting somebody. Oh, my God. I'm quoting Dave Hackett, an industry analyst with Stillwater Associates in Irvine. This is priceless. This is his quote. It's like adding a refinery overnight, and prices should start coming down by Tuesday. I'm laughing. It gets worse. Idiotic Feinstein, which I'll explain to you. Have you ever seen a congressional investigation produce any results on price gouging? No, because they've never found any price gouging. It's their socialist Marxist policies that make this nonsense happen. But oh no, don't tell Frankenstein that one. Oh, my head's going to explode. Okay, I just want to get to it sounds like a slogan, Brown, recall the clown. There you go. I call him Hugo Moonbeam Brown at this point. He's such an Il Duce, a mini one. Anyway, this was done by NetRight Daily, and yeah, it's the truth. This was done actually yesterday, presented on the internet, talking about the rising gas prices. Rebecca Rast, that's the person who wrote this, it said, in September 2008, before Barack Obama was elected, President Stephen Chu, appointed Department of Energy Secretary, stated, somehow we have to figure out how to boost the price of gasoline to the levels in Europe. Don't you love these guys? Thanks in large part to strict pollution limitations and refinery and pipeline misfortunes, one state is now much closer to those levels. Plus the fact, it's been over 35 years since we've had a new, I think we have like, what, two refineries online and one gets on fire, so we're in this mess, and they won't allow them to come across the state lines. And the EPA and the rest of these enviro wackos, won't let us build anymore. This is what we're in. Gas prices hit an all-time high in California at an average of $4.61 a gallon due to a reduced supply and a volatile market. God. California has some of the most stringent fuel regulations in the nation. Oh, please. They're the worst outside of Hawaii, making it so no other energy markets can step up to take some of the burden off the consumers needing to fill up their gas tanks. Therefore, a refinery goes down, Californians are left with little choice but to pay a premium price for gasoline. Unfortunately, this is just one more crisis of a very long list that California has brought on itself by its own unabashed actions. Yeah. I could name off these agencies, these NGOs.
It's all California's fault.
It is in the state of California, absolutely. And Feinstein is an idiot, and so is Brown. They both need to be taken out.
You know who predicted all this stuff? What you're reading. Glenn Beck predicted this.
True.
He predicted this way back before his show ended. Right before.
Let me tell you something. His show hasn't ended. It just changed venues. He is actually on Dish now, and he's been on. I've been watching him on the internet for quite a while. Okay, here's the deal. The things that go on, as far as I think Feinstein and Brown, along with others in California, this is just me, I'm editorializing, should be fit with cement shoes and thrown in the Pacific Ocean. That would take care of a lot. The walls, they'll be here in 5 minutes, the black helicopters. The Wall Street Journal reports that over the last two decades, four refineries in the state have shut down rather than invest in expensive upgrades to comply with fuel regulations. They're regulating us to death here. As refineries come back online in the state, prices should lower and stabilize. However, it will not last long. The journal also continues saying any relief Californians feel will be short-lived. The state's cap-and-trade program, which charges businesses for emitting carbon, will take effect in November. Oil companies warn they'll pass the cost on to the consumers, as usual. The carbon trading market opens in California November 14th. The Sacramento Bee summarizes the cap-and-trade program. This is horrible. Get ready to barf. Under the program, more than 400 big industrial users will be subject to an emission ceiling or cap. They will receive tens of millions of emission allowances, each one representing the right to emit a ton of carbon. Is this, can you, just that paragraph alone, what do you think Thomas Jefferson would do? Would he faint first? Or would he pick up an oh my God.
That's what cap and trade is all about.
I know. It's crap and taxes, and that's what I call it. The total amount of available carbon credits will decline slightly each year, though a similar market is used in Europe to try to cap greenhouse emissions, which is so much garbage. It hasn't been used in the U.S. on such a broad scale. 10% of the carbon credits will be sold at an auction, while the rest will be given away for free. Can you believe this? Big companies and businesses that buy up the 10% will be able to sell them to others. The Sacramento Bee explains that in the first year, the burden of buying these credits will be $1 billion and is set to increase each year. A small business doesn't stand a chance of competing in this market. Likewise, consumers, that's why they're all going to leave the state. Likewise, consumers of these businesses will also take a hit as products, including gasoline, become more expensive. Is this not a recipe for complete failure? Okay, let me just finish this little deal. While it may be comforting in the short term to know that California Governor Jerry Brown instructed the California Air Resources Board to increase the fuel supply by allowing the immediate sale of cheaper and readily available winter blend gasoline, which the state typically sells after October 31st, he is capable of doing much more. You think? He could just as easily request the very Democrat California Assembly and Senate to roll back the regulations, which are horrible, that got California into this mess of exorbitantly higher gas prices on average than the rest of the nation in the first place. Furthermore, you're going to love this. U.S. Senator Dianne Frankenfeinstein, Democrat of California, requested the federal government investigate the this is funny, the high prices afflicting the state, and wonders whether gasoline companies are illegally raising gas prices. Oh my God. The Hill quotes a letter from Feinstein to Federal Trade Commission Chairman John Leibowitz, which states, California's consumers are all too familiar with energy price spikes, which cannot be explained by market fundamentals. Oh, I would have to disagree. Milton Friedman would have a thing or two to say about that. And which turn out years later to have been the result of malicious and manipulative trading activity. But Wilson, president of Americans for Limited Government, says the answers to these high prices are easily found in the state's strict regulations and lack of supply. It would seem California's overzealous attempt to rid the world of all greenhouses starting in its backyard, this is where Agenda 21 has begun, overtaxing and over-regulating the energy market, thus limiting supply, might be a market fundamental being overlooked by Senator Frankenfeinstein. Oh, I wonder if that's true. Yeah. Meanwhile, the Department of Energy, another one, under the direction of Secretary Chu, two entities that also should be at the bottom of the Pacific, is working on new energy alternatives like biofuel and electric vehicles to get Americans off their addiction to oil. Oh, my God. I'm going to go back to that one in a minute. The Wall Street Journal warns that very limited biofuels qualify under California's strict pollution rules. Corn ethanol is not one of them and could result in the closing of even more oil refineries. Oh, that's going to be great. It's hard to find a state that heaps more trouble on itself than California, as it further kowtows to the wishes of Secretary Chu and the Obama administration. It should expect a lot more than just higher gas prices. Oh yeah. And the rest of the country should take note of where America's leaders would like to steer the nation, directly down the golden path currently being paved with high energy prices and even more soon to be failing businesses. Oh man. And this deal about what was that one? I've heard so many things about the failing Volt deal, where are you going to get your electricity to plug this Volt in if it doesn't explode on you? The whole thing is a sham, scam, and it's garbage. It is absolute garbage. This is the road paved to hell. I'm telling you, these people have gone way beyond the road to serfdom with economic social planning, economic central planning. This is fascism on a scale I've never seen in my life. I can't take it anymore. I am so sick of these clowns. And the minute I can get out of here, I'm saving my money. Believe me, I'm doing everything I can. I don't know what's going on in Florida, but
you could come to the island of Tonga where Liliana and I are moving to.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're going to go there. At least it'll be nice, whether it's social.
I mean, my God, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go.
I have no clue.
Well, you know, no matter who's going to be in office.
Yep, Bunker City.
But what bothers me the most, Linda, is that Chavez got reelected. So that's a bad sign right there.
Yeah.
You know, when Chavez got reelected.
The Schmendrick White House congratulated him. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That bothered
me. And so then we have Benghazi Gate, or Libya Gate. And I know that Ron posted something earlier about ISA going after Hillary and on this, and that he's blaming her. And this does not surprise me, because that woman is a she-devil. And I do believe that Obama takes his marching orders from Valerie Jarrett, another Muslim Brotherhood contact. I don't think he does anything without, you know, listening to her. As far as listening to his stupid Michelle Antoinette, let them eat carrot sticks, schmuck wife. Oh God, she's a fascist. That's what it is, guys. When they're trying to, you know, engineer and coerce and force and brainwash and tell you what you can have and grow in your garden. I mean, that's fascism, guys. Just go look it up. Anyway, so what's happening? Of course, I think there was when Glenn talked about it earlier, I think the very first report after these people were killed, Stevens was killed, and the other three in Libya, the U.S. consulate or embassy in Cairo made the statement, and they were blaming the video, and they were blaming all this nonsense on us instead of, you know, they weren't stating the truth. And then day after day after day, every entity comes out and starts blaming the video, including, I think Hillary said it once, but I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and check. You know, in fact, tonight on C-SPAN, if you guys check out your listings, it's going to be the congressional hearings going on that, on what we're talking about. And then, of course, they vilify Mitt Romney, who was absolutely correct in coming out, you know, as a leader. The other one's out playing golf and being too lazy to prep for his debates, or not. He doesn't hang out with his people, advising him on the intelligence briefings. I think he missed how many? God, that was like huge. And I don't how many days or weeks he didn't do anything. And nothing. I mean, all this stuff. Nothing on all these attacks prior to this big one. IEDs thrown, gun battles. May 3rd, State Department declines request for help from this poor ambassador. June 6th, IEDs explosions. This is all around the region. 6/10, IPG attacks the Brit consulate. International building Red Cross attacked. The Red Cross closes the building. White House does nothing. I mean, it says, kind of like pain on, can you see California? That was good. Okay, come on, you guys, call in. We've got to have a little bit more stuff on this Libya deal. This is crazy. This man and this administration and our Secretary of State and all the people involved, Valerie Jarrett, all these clowns, they're putting us in danger, and they don't care. And Glenn has thought that the ambassador was only there to try to recoup these weapons that were given to our enemies so that they could cover that up. And I think he was thrown under the bus. I have no idea, but I hope it all comes out, and I hope it takes down this administration. Makes me sick. What do you think, Robert?
Well, the only way I could answer that is this. And, you know, everybody remembers two important dates. And those two important dates is 9/11 and December 7th, 1941.
And here's
if something is going to happen on that day, you're automatically going to assume it's a terrorist attack, and that's there's no questions asked. But these stupid morons in office, the Secretary Rice comes out and they just made her say that story.
Yeah.
They put a gun. They basically put a gun to her head and told her to say it, and if she didn't, she'd get fired, most likely.
You got 9/11, you've got the Muslim Brotherhood's been appeased since this clown took office, you've got the Muslim Brotherhood infiltrating our military, infiltrating our White House, infiltrating the State Department, infiltrating the Pentagon, and they're literally carrying out the project, which was written by the Muslim Brotherhood. These people are not our friends. Hello?
No, they're not.
Oh my God!
I grow my beard in revolt. I'm looking like a Jewish Taliban terrorist.
Oh my God! Where's the towel? I want the towel and the tennis shoes. Okay, so here you go, and then the diary is written by this ambassador. You know, and what was he doing in Libya, which is the Benghazi area, which is the worst place to go? Everybody knows, people on the ground were stating later, of course, that these were armed men. There was no protest. This has been verified. No protests prior to this mess. They were declined help. They were terrified. They knew they were in trouble. And who knows why they were there? Nothing was done to help these people. And everybody's perpetrating. And then Hillary goes in front of, goes in front of the UN she goes and signs this stuff to globally ban hate speech against Muhammad, just like Obama goes up in front of the UN after all this mess goes down and says there's no place in the world for people who, defame Muhammad. Are you kidding me? These idiots I'm around here in California, do they not watch any news, or do they just watch CBS? I mean, and then they're talking, the biggest story is Big Bird? Oh, my God.
That's because Obama said, quote, unquote, what? Obama said, Al-Qaeda's on its heel. I mean, he said that two weeks.
Osama is dead and Al Qaeda is alive.
Even
Charles Krauthammer came out and said that this media is so in the tank for Obama, they've got snorkel gear on, and I thought that was very cute. He said it on Hannity's show, which I give him credit for. It's just unbelievable.
But Linda, I think it was like 2 weeks before Libya. I mean, the ambassador got whacked. Obama did say Al-Qaeda's on its heel, and if that's turned enough, they won. They basically won. Al-Qaeda won.
Well,
it wasn't because of a movie. It was because of what Obama said.
I'm not going to go into constitutional founders foreign policy and Ron Paul's foreign policy because I haven't studied it, although I have done a little bit on what George Washington and Jefferson used to say about foreign entanglements, and they were so warning about this stuff. And we've gone so far. I mean, my God, after Civil War, we have gone so far away from these people, because after those beautiful founders died, all this nonsense started creeping in, and it's just been going year after year after year, decade after decade, full speed ahead, and it's gaining warp speed by the increments ever since. And I'm sick of it. I'm tired of this fascism that we live under, and I flat out told everybody, oops, I think I lost Robert. Somehow he dropped or lost connection. But anyway, I just tell them, why do you want to live here? Do you know anything about history? why don't you go to North Korea? You'll have plenty of this nonsense over there, and you will have no guns to worry about, and you certainly won't have any freedom. You will not have a car or a house or keep any of your labor. Oh, no. And if you're lucky, they'll keep you out of a FEMA camp, if you're lucky, or a concentration camp. It's just unbelievable. So, Doc or Ron or anybody out there, rained out, call me. We need to talk about all this stuff, and still got 25 minutes. Let me get this up here. Phone, 646-378-0321. 378. Thanks, guys. And I want to thank you for joining me. I don't have a whole bunch of other stuff to go through other than we've got some problems. You know, we've got some real choices. And like I said, it is up to we the people. I have been up to my eyeballs. I think I mentioned earlier in the chat room with many things. I had to do a 2-hour online training session because I'm going to be a poll worker this November. Ducks, the whole country, something North Korea is a country of. I'm sure it is. Yeah, I'm sure it is. It's not a pleasant place to be. Well, we're getting towards that right now, so that's why I want to build a bunker. Whoever gets elected. Okay, I'm going to pick up Ron. Thank you for joining us. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Miss Linda. How are you?
Fine, sir. And yourself? I know you're tired.
I can't even. I can't even think right now. My whole mind is ate up with table saw extensions and
you,
kind of.
And you? Do you wear those little things on your face so you don't breathe in the dust?
Well, of course not. That would be silly.
I'm glad you're doing this because as far as that kind of mechanical stuff, I'm real bad at. Catering, cooking, bartending, dancing, and reading history, I'm great. The rest,
I'm great at mechanical. Give me a car and I can tear it apart, put it back together, and fix it. But this carpentry stuff is for the birds.
Oh, it's hard work. So what do you think about the Libya deal and all those things that we talked about?
Well, you know, I think on Libya, it's a day late and a dollar short. How many people did we murder in Libya going after Gaddafi, and for what purpose?
Oh, God.
What end? I mean, where is, you know, they're going to have these congressional hearings. I want someone up there to ask, what in the hell was the purpose of our involvement with NATO in Libya to begin with?
I know.
Now, after it's cost us the life of an ambassador and several of his entourage, are we suddenly concerned that something may be amiss?
Yeah.
What the hell were we doing there to begin with? Why were we messing with Libya? What was
exactly
the point?
Exactly. And how about Egypt? We had two in a row, right? Wasn't it Egypt first, then Libya? There was two people overthrown.
Yep, and now Syria, you know, everybody's talking about Syria. And while my heart goes out to those people, if the reports are actually accurate and true,
right,
that, you know, the Assad regime in Syria is who's killing all of these people, there's a lot of conflicting information coming out of Syria, and it's who do you believe? Well, I certainly don't believe the government's going to tell us the truth, and that's well established. You know, you look at this Libya thing, and they're making up stories and fairy tales.
Oh, God.
And now more and more of the truth is coming out. We're still not going to know the truth.
No. And what I think, and I'm going by the timelines and what has happened and, you know, with the Arab Spring and all that nonsense in all these countries. And then, you know, Hildebeest and Obama are cheering this Arab Spring and they're cheering the overthrow of these people. And, you know, they knew darn well that the Muslim Brotherhood was going to be the ones taking this up. They knew it. I think they wanted to instill it. Why else are these people being invited to our sanctuary
on a daily basis? To me, if the mosquito class is not trying to foment a confrontation between Islam and Christianity, if that's not what they're trying to set up,
right?
Then, you know, I don't know what the hell it is they are doing, but the outcome is working towards just that.
Right.
Dragging us into a war and a confrontation, setting up the confrontation between Islam and Christianity, as if there weren't enough animosity to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, that's on our own. I mean, and just look inside of our own country, if you just in our own borders, the division I spoke about after this POTUS got elected, how he has helped to foment it, from birth control to religion to Muslims to race to class warfare. I mean, if this isn't Karl Marx, I don't know who it is. How else do you explain this?
You know, we went down to Savannah for 3 days, and I'm beginning to realize more and more that I really live in a tiny little bubble.
Uh-huh.
And that there's a whole lot more whack jobs outside of my little bubble than I would like to admit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My goodness. I told my wife, I said, this must be where old lesbians come to retire and buy a house that was built in the 1700s or 1800s.
Oh, my God.
I tell you, there's lots of Birkenstocks and homos and sustainable everything.
Oh, God, it's disgusting. I fight this stuff daily. I hear the word sustainable, I swear to God. I have put out so many posts, even in my own newspaper just recently, because there's fighting inside our city of Oceanside with the city council and this nonsense with the sustainable development, you know, the general plans. I've already seen all this nonsense. I know which path they're taking, and I post it every day that I can. And I actually posted, like I said, against this, you know, voting for Obama again. And I just said it in about three sentences, and I meant every word. And I don't care. I don't care if I lose a friend over this. I have, everywhere I go, these people are drinking the Kool-Aid. It is unbelievable. It's just astounding. It's like, Ron, they haven't even read anything from the time they left high school, let alone what we've done. I don't understand it. Yes.
The oddballs are always the fun ones to watch. You just, you know, I feel like a dog with his head tilted that's heard a high-pitched sound watching some of these people. It's like, really?
Yeah, one of the conservative people at that Saturday party I went to, we do this once a year because everybody's got birthdays around the same time. We all danced together on stage semi-professionally for 5 years in a row, and we had a blast. Anyway, the girl that hosts the party is a conservative. She gets it. And I explained to her what happened at the fundraiser, and she was horrified when I told her the story. Horrified. Her eyes were – she could not – I love the expression. I should have taken a picture of her face. I said, when the woman – she's calling you. When the woman asked me for my card so she could recommend me for a job at Paula Casino as a part-time bartender, and then like three drinks later, she's getting ready to leave, and she says, ask me who I was – if I was going to vote for Romney, and I wasn't quick on my feet because I had plenty of wine at that time. And I said, I thought about it. She says, oh, then I cannot recommend you for the job. So if this isn't Soviet thinking, I'd like to know what you call it. I was shocked. And my friend that I related the story to, she was horrified. I says, yeah, this is what we live in. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead, Robert.
Did my phone cut off?
It just dropped out. Yeah, I don't know what happened to it.
Linda booted you.
I did not. I would never do that to my friend.
Did you tell me off, Linda? Come on, you can tell me the truth.
Absolutely not. I never touched those buttons unless I have got a troll calling me, you know, the whatever word.
I'm not a troll. I'm just a troublemaker.
I know that.
So Ron, you went to Savannah, huh?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, deep south.
Like that's a bad town.
Well, you know, it's very I would call it eclectic. Anything you can imagine, anything you want to see, and a lot of things you probably don't want to see, you can see in Savannah. It's a neat little town, and we got a. Yeah, it was a last-minute deal. They were having an Oktoberfest going on down there, and we actually rented an old, you know, Victorian home that was built in the mid to late 1700s. We rented the whole house for $150 a night. It had four queen-size bedrooms.
Wow.
It was absolutely amazing. Beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Had a grand piano in the living room.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know, somebody, the people that had rented it backed out at the last minute, so we got a really
oh,
great
wow.
deal. We couldn't have got a hotel for the two of us for that, and there was five of us, so it was
beautiful.
Fun.
Yeah, it's fun to travel. We've got to lighten up our deal and just do a lot of praying because Raindown asked, where is a neat little town? So I don't know what they're asking about, but maybe you can help her out. And I think she's talking about what you were speaking about.
Savannah, Georgia.
Okay. Hope that answered your question, Miss Raindout. Mister, I don't know who it is. So
and
a lot of
history down there, you know. There's
yeah.
A lot of Civil War history, a lot of slave trade history.
My gosh.
They've got the cotton exchange and still have mm-hmm. all the cobblestone ramps and stuff, you know, where
oh
they used
gosh.
To bring the wagons full of cotton in and auction them off. And it was a seaport. So a really cool little place. There was a book written about it, about Savannah,
mm-hmm.
called Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. That's a very interesting book. You know, supposedly Savannah is haunted. Part of Forrest Gump was filmed in Savannah,
mm-hmm.
where he's
right.
sitting on the park bench out in the square.
Yeah, you know, when we travel around our country, it's just amazing. But I will tell you that wherever I go from now on, it's going to be by automobile because I ain't going through that. No, that was like the worst. I'm not kidding. I was so, talk about being transported to 1939 Germany. It was horrible. And I'm sick of it. Why do they put up with it? Why? I don't understand this. I don't understand why the airlines do it. They should just stand up. Say, you know what? If it was me and all, I would get all of them together and say, no, we're not doing this. We're going on strike till this goes away. And just say, we're shutting it down. It's sickening. I don't understand any of it. And I know that back in, I think it was 2010 when this happened, that Judge Napolitano had mentioned, he was in tears. He was just absolutely, completely dismayed over this whole thing. He could not believe his eyes watching these people allow themselves to go through this. It's horrible. Why are we doing this?
Because,
well, you know.
Go ahead, Ron.
Well, we've talked about this many times before. You know, it's that cognitive dissonance. If it's tolerable,
it's not to me.
But I mean, you know, people can convince themselves that, well, I really need to get to California or Florida or Mexico or wherever it is, and the only way is to fly. And, you know, I mean, what's the big deal? I just go through the scanner and it's fine and I'm on the plane. I've got nothing to hide, blah, 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 blah. And they just, you know, they rationalize.
I mean, just because I got a little knowledge in history doesn't, you know, excuse others for not trying to understand what's going on. Why do they want to remain in the cave? I don't get it.
Well, you know, it's a matter of convenience, I think, more than anything.
God.
It's far more convenient to be groped and felt up in the line
then
fly to your destination than it is to get in a car and drive or, God forbid, take the Amtrak or, you know, take the Greyhound and ride across country.
But I heard that the trains and the buses are doing the same thing.
Oh, well, sure, they are. They're moving the TSA and not just the public transportation, but private transportation. They've moved into the subway stations in New York, Chicago. It's crazy. But see, it's much more convenient. You know, like here in Georgia, we had a thing several years ago where the state passed a law against bumper stickers that had even the implication of being lewd
mm-hmm.
or using foul language. And the Supreme Court here in the state struck that law down as unconstitutional. Nonetheless, it's still on the books.
Mm-hmm.
And a lady, a local lady, got stopped. She had a Buck Fush bumper sticker. They wrote her a ticket.
Oh, my
now,
gosh.
Most people would simply just pay the $100 fine and move on because it's not convenient to take
right.
time out of your day to go fight these idiots and tell them, hey, I'm not buying. This is unconstitutional. The state Supreme Court's already ruled it's unconstitutional, and I'm not giving you a penny because you'll probably spend $200 filing papers and taking time off
right.
work, you know, but it's the principle. And
I know
most people just sell out their principles if it's not something that's terribly onerous.
Yeah, and that's sad. I mean, I'm at the point now, you know, I'm so Patrick Henry and Marquis de Lafayette. Don't get in my way. I've had it. I am so up to my eyeballs with. I can't believe these people. And then I have to do. So I've got to try to find ways. And I did. I got to one of the girls, and she was cooking the hamburger for our dinner, and I got a chance to talk to her, and I said, I tried to, like I said on the show yesterday, explain how you at least come to, whether we get to capitalism and free market, which we haven't had for how long, at least go with some principles of lowering these taxes on everybody, cutting the government spending by 50% or better. I'd like to cut it down to, you know, 2 point whatever, and then start using the constitutional principles to get people back to work, for crying out, and get the heck out of people's ways. Nobody's even talked about, except I think the Republican Party or somebody in one of the plans has talked about it. It was on the internet today. Cutting these horrible agencies and all the money that's just pouring out from taxpayer coffers into these things that should have been sunsetted 1,000 years ago.
But my God, Linda, can you imagine the impact on the unemployment numbers if we were to do that?
Yeah, we'd be at 1.8, and everyone who could breathe on a mirror has a job?
Right.
It's simple math.
Exactly, I understand.
Oh.
And, you know, again, I think that the mentality that most people are taking is that, yep, we're sick of it, we hate it, but I'm just going to stay in my own little bubble, and as long as they don't mess with me, I don't care.
Oh, don't they know what's going to happen when they do get messed with? Do they not see that?
You know, that's one of the things that, you know, I hear all the time when Mike had his show on the hot seat and that guy called in and was just arguing in a circle about his bashing Ron Paul. And then one of the other guests asked, you know, well, has your rights been violated by the NDAA or the Patriot Act? And I said, absolutely they have, because I'm considered guilty even if I've not done anything. It doesn't matter. I no longer have those rights, so that is an encroachment. But the mentality is, well, gee, who have they used it against? Name me one person that's had their rights diminished.
God.
I'm like, you know, just because you don't know of anyone doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened.
And the whole point of those acts is that it's secret. You can't tell anyone.
And first they came for the Catholics.
Right,
you know,
I mean, you know, just damn. Well, you know, the backwards, what I
thinking.
Call circular logic,
right.
Is
sick.
Just mind-numbing. it really
like,
is.
So apparently, I mean, we've probably said this before, but apparently they have to be handcuffed and taken to a FEMA camp before they freaking wake up.
Well, you know, my sister, God bless her, I love her to death. But, you know, one of the things I told her, I said, you mean you're okay with the government being able to come into your home and search your home without a warrant? And she says, well, if you've got nothing to hide. And I said, okay, well, that's a great way to think about it. I said, and what happens when the government decides that your Holy Bible that you keep on your table is contraband material? Are you going to be okay with come in and search then? Because then you will have something to hide.
What'd she say?
Well, that's different. I said, no, see, it's not different. It's only different because you don't think it affects you today.
Oh,
but when it does affect you, when the rules change and now it suddenly affects you, now what are you going to do? Because
yeah.
it's been
then
well established and it's public policy and we have
yeah.
precedents and all these other things. Right. So, I mean, don't think for a minute that you have some kind of safety or security because they're not coming after your particular, pension for whatever you're doing.
This is why I am such a champion of at least reading something, because if you go back and you look at every single place that Hitler went after, whether it was Holland, whether it was Poland, wherever he got into, they took people's radios. Are you kidding me? Can we not learn from something? Oh my, why don't people at least get a handle on that? They don't think it can happen in America because of the geographical location and we have a red, white, and blue hanging up there?
Well,
how
and that,
stupid
that's
can
like, you know, that's like the idea, the conversation we had not long ago about whether or not the Constitution grants rights to citizens.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I know that. No,
and,
God
and,
does.
And I love our Patriot family members to pieces.
Yes.
But it befuddles my mind. It absolutely leaves me practically speechless how anyone can possibly believe that a group of men writing something down on a piece of paper grants you the right to any damned thing.
No. This is why Thomas Jefferson was brilliant and what he said in that declaration. I mean, these guys put their lives on the line. They
sure
knew
they did.
They'd die any second. They didn't
that's
care.
The
they had enough.
And that's the thing that, you know, we keep talking about. When are these people going to wake up? When are we going to do something?
I
you know,
know
when the when will happen when a majority
yes.
or not even a majority, but an irate
late.
Minority gets so pissed off that they're willing to risk their very lives.
Absolutely.
To secure
I'm
their
ready.
Liberty.
Count me
okay?
in.
Okay. If you're not willing to risk your life,
then you're a blasphemy. Yeah.
Then you will not secure a single God-given
yep.
right, not
That's
even
right.
one.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I'm there. That's what I call myself, Patrick Henry and Lafayette all rolled into one. I can't help it. You know,
the Marquis de Lafayette is one of my favorite probably the favorite
patriots.
Person in history, in our
Listen.
History, Jefferson was very brilliant, but the Marquis de Lafayette, I think, brought a little bit of reason
mm-hmm.
to Jefferson at times. I think he helped temper his passion.
He was a warrior, though. Wasn't he cool? Man,
he
fought.
Was, but the man was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
and he got it. He understood
of
it.
Of course he did.
Without question. I actually got to stop and see a house in Savannah where the Marquis addressed the throngs from the balcony in 1823, I think it was.
Wow.
Hey, Ron.
Yes,
go ahead.
Robert.
I got about a minute.
Do you know what the first question I would ask running mate Ryan?
What?
I said, why the hell did you vote for the sequestration law, sir? That's the first question I would ask him.
Well, you know, he's got so many excuses. It's like the NDAA.
Mm-hmm.
He voted in favor of it. His excuse is because they attached it to a defense spending bill. I'm sorry, but that's a piss poor excuse.
That's the first question I would ask him. When I heard that I lost faith in when I first understood what was sequestration was all about, Ron.
Sequestration.
Sequestration. Sequestered. I was basically ticked off. Number one, that we had to practice for that stuff. number one and number two. When I found out that Ryan voted for that, that really, really got me upset.
You know, a lot of folks on here, myself included, you know, were very supportive of Alan West. And
he voted too.
Yep, and I think you have to look at the fact that, and I hope that's a lesson for a lot of people, that just because he did the right thing in the military and showed some integrity and some honor, we can't let that put blinders on us to his actions as a senator or a congressman.
But he's getting a lot of flack, you know. He's getting.
Yeah, and you know what? He should get a lot of flack because, from where I sit, a vote for the NDAA is nothing short of treason.
It sucks, and the Patriot Act and H.R. 347, and we all know it.
I mean, it's plain and simple. You swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and then you vote to eviscerate it. That belies logic.
It's amazing. And what you said before, and I've said it, and I know others have said it on other radio shows in the professional guys, that left to their own devices, man, they can be champions of the Constitution, and 5 minutes later they'll start shredding it.
Yep.
Because there are no angels, and this is what we have fallen down in our responsibility of holding them accountable every step, every minute, every second. And boy, from now on, this girl, I'll tell you, if Romney gets elected, he will have a 3-page letter that he will not soon forget, and then the DHS will take me away, but I don't care.
In my mind, you're absolutely right, and that's why we have two bodies of government, you know, three co-equal branches.
Right.
But that's why between the Senate and the House, the importance of the president is that we have a president that is soundly grounded in constitutional principles. And if you read the Constitution and if you read the minutes of the Constitutional Convention and the idea of president, that was the whole reason. You know, they saw the occurrence, what was going on at the state level in the 13 colonies after, you know, we had victory against the British. They became tyrants. And they said, wow, we've got to find a way to reel this in, because if we just have a state, a federal legislature, a House and a Senate, they're in trouble. They're just going to run roughshod over everything.
Sure.
And they have.
But they also knew the danger of, you know, that's why George Washington stepped down after two terms, and they had to erase history, because then they couldn't point and say, who are you better than George Washington? They had to erase that for all these purposes. And before Lincoln, they were still sovereign states, meaning when you say United States, those were baby countries.
Yeah.
And they had rights. People don't understand that.
They were their very own nation.
Yep.
Each state was its own nation with its own president and its own government.
Yep. And this is what we've This was done before the 17th Amendment, for heaven's sakes.
Yep.
All this nonsense. And that's why, you know, we've talked about this before, and I know that we've talked with Terry Rowland about it, and that woman is so well read. I love her. And she understood what you said about the United States is versus the United States are. Well, I'm going to bring that one back. I'm going to start talking it up and say the United States are, and I'm going to defy anyone to come up against me. There you go.
Well, but then when it suits the government purposes, they'll treat the states as if they are sovereign. We saw that during Katrina.
Oh, God.
We can't just march right in there, because it would be a declaration of war against the state. But yet, we can have the federal government refuse to do its duty with regards to immigration.
Immigration. This goes back to central planning, picking and choosing winners and losers. And this is, if this isn't Marxism and fascism, I don't know what else you call it. I'm reading enough on it. Hopefully, I'm getting it right from people who try to tell the truth.
It seems to me that sooner than later, we will hopefully witness the death of Keynesian economics and central economic planning.
I know. Is that, you mean when the financial collapse totally hits the fan?
I'm waiting because, you know, the market's kind of in a weird little sideways flutter lately. Volume's way down. And
silver's dropped about a dollar, yeah.
Well, nobody knows where anything's going. There's no confidence. There's no confidence in anything.
Yeah, they're
no commodities, no stocks. There's no confidence.
They're looking about 2 weeks over the horizon, waiting for Armageddon with this clown in office. I'm telling you. Oh, God. That's why everything's a mess. They know that this is complete fascism going on here. This is corporate fascism going on. We don't have a free market capitalist system. Anything close to it. Especially in California.
I would say that we lost the true free market about 1843, 1853.
There you go. I think you're right.
Whenever Congress voted to monetize silver, and what I mean by that is that, you know, they were borrowing money to mint silver coins, so there was interest attached, and it debased the currency, and that was the start of it.
I know, and then they got the creature from Jekyll Island in 1910. Schmucks.
Wow. So they were printing silver then, too, back then, right?
Well, they weren't printing silver, but
they were
printing bonds, treasury bonds, to purchase silver so that they could mint silver coinage. And at that point, you know, you're bastardizing the money because up until that point, all the silver that was being minted into coinage had come into the government through, you know, normal trade, taxes and tariffs and whatnot. And also an individual could take his gold or silver and cash it in at the mint and receive minted coins in exchange for it, plus a fee, of course. You had to pay the fee to pay for the minting of the coins.
Wow.
Yeah. See, we're in archives. I just want to wrap it up in a second. But this is what happens when bad people think that they are kings or gods and they start meddling with everything. Just aggravates me.
Absolutely.
And,
well, I'm going to run.
Thanks so much. You get some rest, Ron, because I know you're going crazy with your house and everybody. But we're keeping our prayers out for Bill and Yo. I'm going to find out what's going on probably in the next few days or whatever that I can. And thank you, Robert, for calling in and everyone for joining me so much. And God bless. And see you guys for Terry's show.
God bless, man. Thanks.
Thank you. Good night.
Everybody, my best.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.